We exist here at our church to produce mature believers in Jesus Christ. And we do that by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to our community, by living out the gospel in our daily living as a fellowship here in community, and to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community wherever we go throughout the week. And the gospel is truly the message, the only message, the true message that changes things, that makes a difference in this world, and the answer to all of our needs, and that the Lord has come and provided for us salvation in Jesus Christ so that we can have the promise, the assurance of sins forgiven, and the joy of eternal life even now in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Amen. Let's just say that one more time. Amen, bro. Thank you. And so that's where we begin this morning in talking about the gospel today and next Sunday. Now, I have to pause before we get into this message to remind you, as you may not need to be reminded, but the word gospel in our community or in our society is a lost word. When you talk about the gospel or use the word gospel, most people do not even know what you're talking about. On the other hand, within the Church of Jesus Christ today in North America, the word gospel has also been redefined in so many ways, and so many sad ways, that it's kind of boils down to whatever is true for you is true for you, what's true for me is true for me, and we get to pick and believe whatever we think is important about believing in God. But belief in alone in God is not salvation. So we also would need to be explaining or understanding ourselves, what do we mean by the gospel. And so it is not a burden this morning to be able to do that. It is not taking my extra time to help you to do this. In fact, on the other hand, it is a celebration to be talking about the gospel. It is a joy to be explaining the gospel. It is a delight. It is a privilege that God has given me and you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around us. We can never stop talking about the gospel. It is truly the message of God for us today. The fact that Jesus loves you, and that in receiving him, we have that choice to make through repentance whether we're going to love Jesus in return. It kind of boils down to that. There's more involved, but do you truly love Jesus this morning? Have you committed your life to his life to be in you, that you have surrendered everything you have in these times in which we live so that he would be delighted in you? So, Lord, this morning we thank you for the privilege of being together as a church family, that we can enter into some of these scripture texts about what it is to live between the times of the gospel being given to us, being presented, and yet the one day when we will be with you. In the times in which we live, Lord, help us to know that each one of us is valued and loved by you, dear God, that we are invited to come to you with all of our burdens, no matter how heavy laden we are, to come to you, to lay them at your feet. And we join together this morning at the foot of the cross to receive the cleansing flow of the blood of Jesus Christ, to be forgiven, to be set free, to have that kind of life where we live each day in honor to you, and may your holiness be a matter of relevancy and importance to each one of our lives today in these days in which we live. That the world truly would not be imposing its way in and through our lives, that it would never be effective in that way. But Lord, that what is from within, the Spirit of God working in our hearts, would flow out of us to make a difference and an impact in the world around us. And thank you, Lord, for this testimony that we have. It's all because of you, dear God. It's all because of your Son, Jesus, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The times in which we live are challenging for any one of us as a Christian. We would agree with that. But the text that we're coming to this morning perhaps is challenging as well, because it's talking about what God is doing in our lives right now today as a believer, and this space between salvation and the glory that yet is to be revealed that we would be part of. Our key text this morning is from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. I'll read it with you. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So we're introduced to this word of sanctify or sanctification. And the scripture here is telling us that there is this work of sanctifying or sanctification that is yet to be completed. There is a time in which we live when the Spirit of God is doing his work in and through our hearts. And that our whole spirit, our soul, and our body, everything that there is about us would be impacted and affected and changed because of Jesus Christ and who he is. That God is faithful, that what he has begun in you and me as believers, he will bring it to completion. So this text begins with God and it ends with God, but it's about you and I as God would be working this day in which we live. In fact, could it be said that right now as a believer, you and I are smack in the middle of the world's most important incomplete process, and I use that word process very carefully, the most important incomplete process that is your sanctification. Now, sometimes when we think about a process of something we are making or developing or engaged in, that there are mistakes that are made, so we correct mistakes. Now, in the Christian life, certainly we are tempted. We make mistakes and we seek to correct those mistakes. But when we're talking with those kinds of ideas that we're in this process, it's kind of like I'm trying to work out my salvation, true, but there is so much more to the whole idea of sanctification. The idea of sanctification is much like the fact that when we were born again by the Spirit of God through regeneration, that is, the Spirit of God comes upon us and we are, our eyes are made aware of what the Lord has done for us, that he has died for us on the cross, that he loves us, that he gave his life for us, and we receive that gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the journey that we begin on as a believer in a spiritual kind of way. And along the way, you know, we're working hard at correcting our mistakes so that we can almost like continue to be actively involved or engaged in being a believer so we don't lose that. May I suggest to you, there's so much more going on in this whole idea of sanctification as the scripture talks about it. In fact, so much more that our salvation is all about God coming to us. And even in the process of sanctification, if you think of it as a process, it's more than that. It's about living in this time in which we live when we are alive as believers, that God is doing his work in us through his Holy Spirit or by his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. It begins with God, it ends with God. But it's God's blessing to us that his Spirit is convicting us and teaching us and showing us his way. And we are daily not only being aware of that through reading his word and studying together and praying for each other, encouraging each other, but God is doing a great work in and through us. and it begins with God and ends with God, and God is delighted to be working in us. But it is a time in which we live between the times that God is at work here until we return or go to Him in glory. So there is, throughout all of Scripture, especially the New Testament, this concept of we are already saved. We already know the gospel. We have received the gospel as believers. By faith, we trust Him. We have repented of our sin, and God's Spirit has come to live within us to teach us His ways. We are already in that place of identity that we are safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Our identity is Jesus Christ. But there are so many scriptures that not only portray that, but also that this work of being sanctified, that it would be completed one day in us, has this idea that not all has been yet accomplished. That God is guiding us and providing for us and securing for us, or even having us understand that there is yet, perhaps in some way you could say, more to come, that there is a goal for this. There is a place where God wants us to arrive at. Now, I would suggest that we are saved and we are always saved. So this is not a matter of salvation, but it's a matter of relationship with God. And in that relationship with God, if we think of this relationship with God, that it's a process where we each day getting closer and closer to God in holiness, I might just ask you, or you can ask me, how is that working out? Do you see it as a steady incline, or is it more like a roller coaster in your life? That's why I just walk back a little bit from using the word that it's a process, that it's some kind of a steady incline. So this already and but not yet work of God in our life is something that I am rejoicing in this morning as I share this with you. That no matter what happens, even in my circumstances, even in my weakness, that God is still seeking to work in and through me and holding me tight in His arms and wanting to teach me His ways, that I'm growing in my relationship with Him. Now, when you back out and look at the word to sanctify or be sanctified, ultimately the word means holy. So when you place that meaning into these texts, we are made holy. We are forgiven of our sin, made holy, and when we trust Christ as our Savior, we are given God's righteousness. But in our daily living, are we always choosing holy things, holy ways? Are we holy in our life living? And so there is these texts that continuously point us to the already and yet not yet. So let me, before I go in any deeper into this, perhaps a profound idea. Last summer, I had some free time, and I gathered together all of these texts that I could find. I'm only going to give you a sample of them this morning, that talk about what God has already done in us, but yet there is these other works of God, this completed work of God that God is doing in our lives. It is maybe in some ways hard to understand or hard to explain. So I have to begin with this idea or this question of God. What are you doing? You know, help me. I want to make sense of God. And so when we get back to the New Testament, when Jesus was talking about the building of His kingdom, He used parables to teach us about the way God works among His people in a big picture kind of way. And it says this: the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed, the tiniest of grain in their culture, that a man took and sowed it in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all of the garden plants and becomes a big tree, so large that even the birds of the air come and make nests in it. It is completed later on in its growth. also in that same chapter, there's the parable of the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven that a woman took into the dough that she's making and hid the leaven in this dough, in these three measures of flour, till all of it was leaven, till all of it was the leaven permeated the whole dough and a whole batch of dough, and it would rise. So God is at work. He's bringing together, completing what he started here in this world, in his kingdom, even in my life. Now, I have to then think of myself, where am I at in this process? Have I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? That's the most important decision and place to start. Yet, Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that I consider that the sufferings, the struggles, the circumstances of this present time are not yet worth comparing with the glory that is one day to be revealed to us. That God is working in spite of things or because of things, perhaps, and he is building into my life his likeness. And one day I will be ultimately glorified, as it goes on to talk about in Romans chapter 8. What is that all about? Well, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture. And Peter talks a lot about this in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 1. In fact, most of this chapter. I'd like to take the time to read it with you. And so let's just think through what Peter is saying about the already and the not yet. He writes this. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation that's ready to be revealed to you in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, that's more precious than gold." This is, to Peter, a very valued time in his life to understand that in the crucible of life, God is doing a great work in us, that there is a goal for all of this. In fact, I would say that Peter, in his earlier years as he walked with Jesus, was a kind of man or character or personality, as you would say, often got his foot in his mouth. He often questioned or doubted what Jesus said. He even denied his Lord. Yet after the resurrection, the Lord asked Peter, you know, about the sheep, and three times, and asking Peter how much he, Peter, loves Jesus, Jesus responded, "Feed my sheep." And when you get to the book of 1 Peter, years later, toward the end of Peter's life, he writes these words. And in chapter 5, it's all about what he learned about being the shepherd, a good shepherd for the sheep that is the church of Jesus Christ. So there was a lot of changes that went on in Peter's life, is what I'm saying. And it was all because of God at work in him. He says, like again in verse 7, "so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And he says, "though you have seen him or not seen him, yet you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Also, this text that we're familiar with in Romans 8:28, verse 27 says this, that the Holy Spirit of God in this context searches hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, The Holy Spirit knows what He's up to. He is intentional in His work in your life, because the Spirit intercedes even for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is teaching us the will of God through the Word of God. That's how alive and powerful and potent the Spirit of God is in our life today as a believer. And verse 28 then, so we know that for those who love God, who not only have received the love of God, but that in return are loving God, have decided and made the intentionality every day to love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. That our purpose is to bring honor and glory to God, and that is ultimately what why we exist and what God's Spirit is doing in your life and my life today as a believer. So here we are talking about rejoicing in the already and the not yet plans of God for your life. Now, on this screen, it hopefully is, it's laid out fairly well for us to understand that there are six examples of this I'd like to present to you this morning. There's many more in Scripture. I would encourage you to take your bulletin home and study through these texts on your own. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, in that context, it says the Spirit of God is at work in our hearts. We are adopted into Christ's family, now as sons and daughters of His, whereby we cry out daily, Abba, Father, in this relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ, adopted in Christ. Yet, verses later in the same text, Paul is also writing that we are now today as adopted children into God's family are also waiting for our adoption. We are, in fact, he says, eagerly waiting for our adoption, the completion of God's work in and through us. So the already and the not yet contrast is brought together with delight and joy to know that what God has begun, He is working and will be completed, and I love Him for it. This is such a delight. I do not see this topic as a point of agony or angst or anxiety, that God doesn't know what He's doing. Why couldn't He do it all at the same time? No, He wants me to experience this day and the day in which I live, these years and months and days that He has given me, to enjoy and appreciate and to experience, to know firsthand the love of God in my life, and to know that in that relationship with Him, I love Him even more. And there's a day coming where that love will be completed, my love for Him and God's love for me, and I will realize the full adoption that I have been given as a son or daughter of the King of Kings and a Lord of Lords, one day to be with Him. Amen? So let's go on to the next example here, what it is to be redeemed in Christ already, but yet not yet redeemed. In the same book of Ephesians, just think through this, to be redeemed in Christ that we have received through redemption, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Yet in chapter 4, Paul writes that we are not yet redeemed. So, Paul, did you make a mistake here? What are you trying to tell us? Well, in chapter 4, the text there is about the fact that the Holy Spirit has sealed us as believers for that day of redemption. When the day of redemption comes, well, we will be face to face with our Lord, and we will know in full by firsthand experience that we are truly God's own child. But yet today, we already know that. We are not given any new information, but the realization of it, that God has completed, that what He has started and promised, He will not go back on. He will not make a mistake. He is faithful to you and I as believers. That no matter how we feel any given day about life or our faith and how weak we may be in understanding God's will for my life, I know that God is at work. and that I am redeemed, and one day I will be redeemed. I will fully understand and know what God has been doing in my life. How wonderful and precious are these truths to us this morning. We all know then in the next frame that we are sanctified in Christ. Yet we took from our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that the Lord would sanctify you, that sanctification would be one day completed in our life. So how does that work? In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's the opening verses of that book, and Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he called them the believers at Corinth who are all sanctified in Jesus Christ. They are sanctified. God's work has been completed in their life. They are now His people, His church, His possession. His holiness has been given to them. They are made holy in Jesus Christ. Yet, the prayer is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we will yet one day be sanctified. And truly, the holiness that God has been given us, all of the sin that goes on and the things of our life right now that get messy, even as believers, we are one day that'll be all gone and in the rearview mirror, and we will truly be sanctified. It'll be completed. We will see our Savior face to face. Well, let me go on in Ephesians 2, verse 8. A very familiar verse to you, that by grace you have been saved through faith. You have been saved. It's a fact that has been accomplished by faith that the Lord gives you to trust Him as your Savior, and not by works of righteousness of your own good deeds, but only by faith are you saved. Yet in Romans chapter 5, it talks about the fact that we are not yet saved, and that we will one day be saved from the wrath of God. And so there is this, not a tension, but this joy, this delight in seeing what God had begun to and began to work in my life, that there is this day coming, this process, this journey, these living between the times where God's goodness and His mercy is heavy upon my heart, and He knows what He's up to. And there will be a day coming soon where I will escape the wrath of God, and we will truly be saved out of the corruption of this world, be delivered from it, and raptured into glory. Ephesians chapter 2 talks then about being raised with Christ as a believer. When you become a child with God, a child of God, we are raised with Christ, just as Jesus was raised from the dead. We too are raised from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are not yet raised. One day we will be raised in the resurrection. We will be taken up to glory and to heaven. And in the meantime, we are truly in that place with Christ, where the resurrected life of Jesus Christ is alive and well in our life and guiding us through this life. And then when you get way out into the big picture, Romans chapter 8, verse 30 talks about how we are justified in Christ. And after justification comes our glorification, that we are glorified in Christ. And that's a whole lesson in and of itself. Where does that all go? But it's all, again, the idea that God has completed when He began His good work in us, that ultimately salvation and everything about it, all of its blessings, its provision, its gift of eternal life is given to us in a package when we receive Christ as our Savior. Yet, we are not yet seated with Christ according to Ephesians chapter 2. And one day we will be resurrected, seated with Christ around the throne of God, and there truly His glory will be our glory, and we will be glorified in Christ. So I guess you might come to conclusion here this morning and just ask ourselves, what is God doing? Why didn't we get this whole package at the beginning and not have to work through this trials and sufferings and weaknesses of our own personal lives through the times in which we live as a believer. And I think the response really is that God wants us to know His goodness. God wants us to know day by day His grace. God wants us to know every day His mercies are new every morning. We are loving God for that. We are trusting God for that. We are dependent upon the goodness of God in every day of our life. And so the already and the not yet is a glorious, precious place to be here in this earth. Let me just then bring this to conclusion that no matter what God does, as sometimes we would say in this process of sanctification, that He is completely, always holy, right, righteous, kind. He's good and He's right, and He never makes a mistake. We get up this morning and we have daylight savings time, and we're in a new season by experience. Yet God is eternal. He doesn't change. He has no season. He is always this. He is always holy. He is righteous. He is kind and He is good. And His presence and by His Spirit in and through us is teaching us His ways. And this is a good thing. This is a thing that we rejoice in, that we delight in. And to know that what God has given to us will be realized in full yet one day. That His holiness matters to me. His holiness matters to you. Because that's what sanctification ultimately is about. To be holy before God. To be cleansed of your sin. To be forgiven. To be in that state of repentance even day after day. That whatever Mike tries to do and Mike's answers to life is in no way compared to God's word and what God wants for me to do. And that my life should be in conformity and in obedience to His holiness. That is not only my goal, but it's my reality, I trust, for each one of us. That God's word and His life is alive in us. The last question that I have then is, do you have eternal life living both in this present age and in the age to come? It's like asking, do you know God's love for you? Do you know that Jesus died on the cross, gave His life for you, took the punishment of the sins that you have committed as a holy God, and took your place so that you need not die in your sin, that through repentance and confession and receiving Christ as your Savior, you receive His grace and His mercy, which is now already upon you, and you are given eternal life in this journey we call the Christian life, which is amazing. It is worth it all. No matter what is going on in our world today, we thank God through Jesus Christ every day that His Spirit is alive in us and that we are trusting Him day by day for the strength and the mercy that we need. That we rejoice and we love God because He first loved us. Yes, we have right now, today, eternal life as a believer in our living. We already have right now, this day, eternal life in our dying. We are right now already have this eternal life in our giving. We are right now have eternal life every day in our serving. We right now have eternal life in our praying. Right now, today, we already have eternal life in our forgiving others. Right now, we have every day eternal life in our conversation, in our words to one another. Right now, today, we already have eternal life in our resting, in our sleeping. And right now, we already have, as we experienced this morning earlier in our service, we have eternal life in our singing, in our worship. And God is at work, and the already is here. The not yet is yet to come of the ultimate being together with Christ and seeing his work completed in us. It is not to me necessarily a process. It is a life. It is eternal life that's real for me and you today that we already have in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And do you know that personally? We're going to sing here in a minute, and as we sing or even afterwards, I want to be down front here to be waiting on you. Come forward and talk with me, pray with me. Any of you ladies like to come and receive Christ as your Savior, just have a burden on your heart, there'll be a lady here to pray with you. We want you to know Jesus Christ. We want you to have this eternal life that makes all the difference in the world. It is the most important decision, the most important value, the most important experience, the most life-changing thing that you could ever have, to have and know eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We welcome you to the family of God for those who have eternal life through Jesus Christ. It is not because of us, but it's because of him who has raised us from the dead. And together, one day, we will be raised and be with him in glory. Today, we have that assurance. We have that reality. We know for sure, no doubt in our mind at all, that we are his children. Are you a son, a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning? And I ask that you pray about that and you consider that as God's gift to you, that you would welcome him into your life this morning. Let me pray. The worship team may come forward and prepare for worship. And as they do that, let's just pause on our own quiet heart and to understand that God is present with us, that right now in this moment of pause and preparation for worship through music, that's all about eternal life and the hope that we have in Christ, that we want to know individually, Lord, that we are your child. Lord, that there is adoption out of the sin and the brokenness of this world to be received into your life, into your kingdom as a child of God, a son or daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for that gift of salvation. And now by grace through faith, we are saved in Jesus Christ. And we give you praise. Amen.